Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John, engineering and producing our program on the other side of the glass. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It's Monday, March 18th, 2024. Hope everybody had a wonderful St. Patrick's Day. I do want to say a personal note. I want to thank everyone up at St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church for the wonderful ceremony that they put on yesterday. For those that follow me on Facebook, you've seen the picture of the project that I commissioned in my wife's memory. It's part of a triptych. It's a mosaic, a tile mosaic that is now on view and will be forever, I hope, in the courtyard in front of St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church. Some of our listeners came. A lot of good friends were there at the dedication and the blessing. And it was a very emotional day for me. And I just wanted to say to those that have been supporting me on this journey that just I thought I was at, had moved along in this journey, but there was a little bit of a setback, as to be expected, with all those emotions yesterday. But we move forward, and thanks to everybody who's been so supportive of me over the last 7 months. We're in our 14th year with our radio project. We're coming to you from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on 1030 KVOI, The Voice, Tucson's only source for local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening and 13 full years of content now beautifully archived at buckmastershow.com. For our live line, our telephone interviews presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. On Monday, we do our what we call the Monday one-on-one. We've been doing it now for over a year. I'm very happy with the way it's going. We used to do the Monday political face-off, but I didn't want to start the week off with all that negative energy. You know, there's enough shouting back and forth, and we get enough politics other ways. So I wanted to do a segment to start the week on a positive note. The one-on-one is sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Speak about a positive guy. Moe Gaul, G-A-U-L, and his family have been in town since 1985. I do all of my, have all of my framing done at with Moe, and he's a fantastic photographer. His work is on display at the shop at Fort Lowell and Dodge. They're right next to Copenhagen. Their website's moesgallery.com. Our one-on-one guest, it's good to have him back. Been about a year. I always like to have Jim Cantrell with me in studio. Jim is CEO and co-founder of Phantom Space Corporation. This is a Tucson-based company. We're going to hear an update from Jim in a moment. Jim was an early member of Mr. Musk's SpaceX team, and Jim is hoping the new company Phantom will become, as he says, the Henry Ford of the space industry by using mainly off-the-shelf components to mass-produce rockets and space vehicles. Jim Cantrell's new book actually released, I think just the week we had him on a year ago, so it's been out for about a year, Breaking All the Rules, the Inside Story of the Space Race. And Jim tells me the book's going to be made into a movie. Hey, Jim, good to see you.
Bill, always good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and I know you followed my journey. Getting back to my opening remarks, man, I was speaking at the dedication, obviously, yesterday, and I thought I was beyond crying about this. And I'll be honest with you. I could not. It took me to get my composure to get through my remarks yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, society somehow has this expectation that men don't cry.
We do. Yeah.
We do. I still tear up when I talk about my grandfather, even my major professor, who was a father figure in my life, you know, so I can only imagine a wife of so many years, you know.
And you've been so supportive to me through Facebook and other things. I mean, you've known loss in your life, and you've had some health scares yourself. We live moment to moment, Jim Cantrell.
Yeah. Yes, we do. Yeah, 2.5 years ago, I was given 2 years to live.
Yeah.
And here I am.
Yeah, I remember when when the doctors told you that you basically were quickly running out of time.
Yeah. Yeah, and they were wrong, thankfully.
So how's things going with Phantom over the last year?
Phantom's great. We've lived through a year of what I would call horrifying finance environment.
With the interest rates have got to have been a killer for
right, it. Right. Unfortunately, in a startup, especially a rocket startup, you live off of investor cash for the first few years, and you try to get to cash flow positive as quickly as you can. And so we're still in that phase of living off investor cash. And last year was tough. The interest rates were high. And so, you know, when somebody with cash on the side, fund, high net worth individual, whatever, would look at, you know, a 10% return with a little risk and then, you know, a 20% return with high risk, they go for the low risk option. And so we had to really hunker down and survive. And the only good news out of that is that a lot of others who are would-be competitors have gone out of business, including Richard Branson. And they went bankrupt. And then, you know, we've had other couple of high-profile companies go bankrupt in this space. We're still here. I'd put some of my own money into it, which was fine. But now the finance world has turned around. And I was just in Aspen raising money this weekend. And we're actually raising money. So it's good.
And what is the kind of the terminology for your business, micro? Give our listeners the way it's commonly referred to.
Yeah, we think of ourselves as a space systems company. So we do build rockets, and so we sell that launch service to other satellite builders. We also build the satellites, and then ultimately we're going to build a Starlink-like constellation. That's the Elon Musk SpaceX broadband. We won't be doing broadband, so you'll never hear about Phantom broadband in your house, but we will be taking data backhaul from cars, from UAVs, from airlines, from other satellites, and sort of a business-to-business sort of thing. But you have to have the launch vehicle to do that. So we're starting with the launch vehicle, and that gives us a strategic position to be able to scale the business where somebody without the vehicle can't, because launch is scarce still.
You talk about something called a Phantom Cloud, which you call a satellite internet for space, which is essentially a network that satellites can use to communicate with each other or with systems on the surface.
Correct, yeah.
So explain that.
So satellites right now, for those of you old enough to remember bulletin board systems where we would hiss. But, you know, you'd have to dial up somebody else's computer and downlink a file and upload a file, and that's how you communicated over telephone lines. Satellites still today in 2024, that's how they communicate with ground stations. So our concept's really simple. Let's put that ground station capability in space, and then satellites can connect to it. So instead of waiting 12 hours between contact times, and when you see it for, say, 12 minutes, everything has to work. You got to get all the data down. Then it can be just like an intranet, and the data goes back to the users in minutes rather than days.
So how many missions do you envision a year?
So, you know, our ultimate goal is to be daily launch. I think in, you know, our first year of launch, which will probably be next year, we'll probably put four up. And then we'll double every year is what we think we're going to do. And we've focused on getting what we consider to be the scarcest real estate in the world, which is launch pads. And there's not too many of them left on old federal ranges, but we've been very quietly over the last 4 years gathering them up very successfully.
I know you know how many there are. I'm curious how many launch pads are there.
Well,
so in this country,
there are five launch ranges in this country, places where you can launch, one in Alaska, one in California, one in Texas, we saw last week, one in Florida, and one in Virginia. And three of those are federal, one state, one's private. And on each one of those places, there's probably 20 pads there. But the real factor is how many launches can you do a year out of each of these places? Because they affect surrounding communities, they affect airline traffic, ship traffic. And so we have gone after both the site and then the regulatory authority to launch a lot. And so out of California, we have the authority now approval for 60 a year. We just took over the SpaceX landing pads, the pads you see all those rockets landing. Mm-hmm. They took it away from SpaceX, gave it to us. And so now we're going to turn that into a launch pad. We think we can do another 50. We're working on a spaceport in the Bahamas. We have I call it a drug deal. It's not really drugs, but we have to put some economic incentives in there.
Thinking about the old Miami Vice,
right,
and the cigar boats out of Miami over to Bimini.
Well, Well, you know, dealing with foreign governments is an experience, let me tell you. So we're going to build a spaceport on one of their northern islands and launch from there. And it's about a three-hour boat ride from Cape Canaveral.
Uh-huh. Yep. Wow. So there's a real shakeout going on in the industry, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It, you know,
it's kind of like going from the horse and buggy days to cars.
I think of it more like 500 years ago when the Spaniards were coming to the New World. I think we're really at that stage. And, and we're just still learning how to go to the New World, in our case, space. And we're learning how to economically exploit it. So very, very early days in the industry.
So what's the government's role now in this? I mean, we think of government as NASA, and kind of what's that look like?
Yeah, it's changing very rapidly. So when I got into the business, it was what I called a nation-state-dominated industry, which meant only nation-states had the capital and the intellectual resources to do it. And now, you know, with SpaceX and some of these other companies, we've broken that mold. And there's a lot of private capital coming in. So government's going back to what I consider its rightful role, which is mission-oriented. For example, the Defense Department, you know, they want to put things in space to work the mission of national security.
Mm-hmm.
NASA, the mission of observing planet Earth and exploring the cosmos, less, you know, trying to be industry itself. And that's been a hard transition.
Yes.
Because a lot of these states like Alabama, I'm not picking on them, but they did have the strongest congressional support for jobs in Alabama that are funded through NASA, for example. So that's slowly dying and changing, and it's becoming more commercial. And then the FAA is a big player in space as a regulatory authority. So I wouldn't exactly call them Mother May I, but it's close.
Mm-hmm. All right. More with Jim Cantrell. I'll talk about his book, and it's going to be made into a movie. The book traces the origins of a second space race that Jim says began at the end, and I don't doubt him, I think he's right on this, began at the end of the 1960s, the 1960s U.S.-Soviet space race, and eventually led to the creation of SpaceX and the explosive growth in commercial space. So we'll have more with Jim in segment two of our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Want to send everybody up to our favorite bakery. Not necessarily today, because this is the one day they do take the day off, the well-deserved Monday off, at Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They are utilizing the liquor license. They're open Tuesday through Sunday. In other words, you can have a beer with your lunch. I guess you could have a beer with your breakfast. You can do wine, a mimosa with breakfast. It's all there for you at Mona's Danish Bakery. Northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. The website's monasdanishbakery.com. More with my friend Jim Cantrell right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, off and running on our Monday one-on-one with my friend Jim Cantrell, a space entrepreneur, founder, CEO, and co-founder of Phantom Space Corporation, which it's turning out is like one of the last kind of space entrepreneur folks standing. Jim, talk a little bit about the book, and the movie is in the works, and I guess as serendipitous would have it, you ran into the guy who is going to be producing your movie up in Aspen.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That was not planned, right?
No,
I mean,
not at all. No. That was one of those sheesh moments.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the book itself is called Breaking All the Rules. You can get it on Amazon if you like. It's not in Audible yet because I've had disputes with my Audible people. They can't produce the sounds for Russian names very well. Mm. But it started out being called My Name is Elon Musk, because that's what I thought Elon's name was when he first called me. And as people read the manuscript, they encouraged me to include how did that happen, right? Because Elon didn't walk into a vacuum and
did say— Did he call you in the middle of the night?
It was the middle of the Friday afternoon with my top down on my car and wanted to come visit me at my house. And I'm like, no way.
What year was that?
2001.
Okay, go ahead with your story.
Yeah, so people, you know, encouraged me to write about why that happened and you know, what led to that. And then what happened afterwards. So in some respects, I guess it's an autobiography, but I told tell the story of what happened in the space race, how we converted from nation state to commercial capitalistic space. And it's a host of characters and great stories. And I spent years in the former Soviet Union, got arrested for espionage, and Al Gore got me loose. That's the only thing I can thank Al Gore for.
Wow.
And so as time went on, I got this call about October of last year. This guy named Lee Savage from Xenon Studios said, hey, I'm going to be in Scottsdale, would you come have dinner with me? And I said, yeah, sure. So I went up there, and when I got to the table, here he was with a copy of my book, and everything was dog-eared, and there were notes all over it. And he said, I want to make a movie out of your book. And
wow.
So Lee is known for Straight Outta Compton. Xenon Studios did that one.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They did pretty well with that. He got an Academy nomination, I think, out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, we're putting the deal together.
Who will play you?
We don't know yet. Yeah, Russell Crowe maybe. Everybody says I look like Russell Crowe, or
do.
He looks like me. Yeah,
and you have kind of a young demeanor, and all the things you've done in your life is just so amazing. How much? May I ask how old you are?
Yeah, I'm 58.
How much you have crammed into those 58 years for a kid who came from probably a small town, one of the hardest names to pronounce in California.
Yucaipa, yeah.
Yucaipa, California,
yeah,
small town, went on to Utah State, right?
Right,
doing engineering and stuff up there. That kind of got you all turned on to science, didn't it, or what?
So Carl Sagan actually was responsible for that on PBS when I was a kid. You know,
right.
I'm old enough to have, watched PBS when it was on black and white TVs, and he had the show called Cosmos that mm-hmm. got me interested. I later met and knew Carl Sagan pretty well. He was part of my journey, as it turned out, when I went to work for NASA after I got an internship. And he and Lou Friedman of the Planetary Society were trying to get the Soviets and the Americans to work together to go to Mars. And that was a crazy idea. And I always thought the Soviets were 12 foot tall and mm-hmm. superhuman, like Rocky, the mm-hmm. movie showed. Mm-hmm. And we found out they were very, very ordinary people. And so I ended up in France at the space agency over there in 89 to 92. And I experienced the dissolution of the Soviet Union firsthand. I was in country when that happened, and it was sort of like Forrest Gump, just there
mm-hmm.
at the wrong place or the right place at the wrong time, and that's how I got interested in all of this.
What about Musk? What's your feelings about him?
Well, my feelings and my thoughts are different. My thoughts on the guy, I'll start there, is, I'm incredibly admiring of the man.
Mm-hmm.
He's accomplished a lot. I've begun to sink in. This is why I started writing the book, that he's a man of history, right? He's a very major, significant portion of history. I personally believe he will be single-handed responsible for putting the first humans on Mars, which I think in the history of humanity is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And not just from a sci-fi perspective, but mm-hmm. think about our species going mm-hmm. from one planet to the other. That's enormous.
Yes.
My feelings about him, he's very difficult to work with.
That's what I've understood.
Yeah, I couldn't last. I
understand he would call people in the middle, or still does, calls people in the middle of the night. And
3 a.m. I got one call one time. It was 4th of July morning at 3 a.m. And he says, "Where in the hell are you?" And I said, I'm in bed sleeping, Elon. He says, "Well, I'm at work, and I expect you here." And I said, "Well, I'm at least a 2-hour plane ride away." And, but that's the kind of thing he did. And he's the most pleasant, funny, smart, really, captivating person you could ever know. And then he turns into this hellhole.
Mm-hmm.
And I have mixed feelings about the guy. I don't ever want to get in his way because
mm-hmm.
he's the most fearsome person to ever have a fight with.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I treat life. Is the less I talk to Elon, the better. We haven't mm-hmm. talked in a good 10 years.
Be interesting when the movie comes out how he'll feel about the way he's portrayed.
So my movie producer wants to try and get him in on this. He's saying, "Hey, look, Elon, this will be your chance." But
yeah.
I think his ego is much bigger than that. I don't think he'll have a chance to get him in.
Big mistake to change the name of Twitter to X. And I understand where that's coming from because of SpaceX with that name change.
Well, he had that X.com since his early days. That was his first company, X.com. And he maintained, when that became part of PayPal, he maintained that. And so I think there's a play between Starlink and X and what he thinks is left over from PayPal that he left on the table, because he got fired from PayPal. So I think he's personally going to put all these things together
mm-hmm.
and make a financial institution that can operate worldwide independent of governments. He's a very libertarian thinker.
All right, look, get out your crystal ball. So you mentioned Mars. So what do you see kind of timeline, the way we're going here with human exploration, the moon mission, then presumably on to Mars? What time frame are we considering here?
So the thing you got to realize about Elon, there's two things. Well, first of all, SpaceX is only about Mars, right? Only about Mars. Anything they do to make money is incidental to pay to go to Mars, right? Same with the Boring Company,
mm-hmm.
about Mars. Tesla, about driving on Mars. Trust me, I know this because I live rent-free in the guy's head.
Mm.
Second thing is he loves OPM, other people's money. Okay, so mm-hmm. he's going to finance this off of NASA. So within the next 5 years, I predict that there'll be a NASA mission to the moon where we put humans on the moon again, and it'll all be orchestrated by SpaceX but paid for by NASA. And as a taxpayer, that's not a bad thing, because NASA's just horrible at doing this stuff mm-hmm. anymore. They're very inefficient. They should be mission-oriented rather than an industry in and of themselves. And I think within 10 years, we'll probably – 15 on the outside, we'll see somebody – go to Mars, and it will be by a SpaceX taxi and not a NASA black limousine.
So Musk has found a way to have NASA and the government kind of pay some of the, but not maybe some of the bills, a lot of the of the freight.
Yeah,
yeah, it pays the freight,
and it's not a bad deal for the the taxpayer. If you look at, for example, when the space shuttle was retired, they had to have a replacement because we were living on Russian rockets going there. I mean, it's unthinkable today. So Mike Griffin, whom I knew pretty well when he was NASA administrator, he said, look, let's try a commercial bet. So for $1 billion of taxpayer money, they managed to build the Falcon 9 and the Dragon to take astronauts to the space station. NASA had a parallel program where they spent over $50 billion. The Space Launch System that we saw launch once was the result of that. It's clear, 50-to-1 ratio of capital efficiency is really clearly where our taxpayers ought to, taxpayer money ought to go.
All right, back to Phantom and your company. So what's the plan for the next, give us the outline for the next 12 months?
So assuming we're able to raise the money, we're raising about $60 million this year, and we're about 10 in on that so far that's in the door. So assuming we can raise the rest of it, we'll probably be launching about a year from now our first rocket. And we've made a lot more progress than we tell people because we're called Phantom. So we don't tell people. I'd rather just show them. And so we're going to be doing a lot of testing. The city of Tucson has been very, very helpful to us, has given us at least some property south of the city at market rates, by the way. But it's down by the prisons where we can do our stage testing. So we'll be doing that this summer.
Okay. So do you need a big footprint for the testing or –
Just not really.
A couple of acres, maybe?
Yeah, so it's about 1,000 acres, but you know we only need like 1,300 feet for explosion distances because these are small rockets.
All right, Jim Cantrell, always a pleasure from Phantom Space.
You.
And again, I'll give you a quick plug, Jim, before we run. The book is Breaking All the Rules, the inside story of the new space race. Jim Cantrell, it's available on Amazon and where better books are sold. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
All right, that's our Monday One-on-One presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our thanks to Jim Cantrell, space entrepreneur, always a great guest for our Monday one-on-one to kick off this new week on the Buckmaster Show. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Green Things, 3384 East River Road, right by the Rito River, and just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. It's a beautiful area of the valley, and they've got 13 acres. And it is really beautiful because this spring has been, in over 30 years, well, I'm in my 36th year here in Tucson this time around, I can't think of a nicer winter that we have had, and early spring where the temperatures have been not too hot, not too cold, and just the right amount of rain. So, hey, that's a combination that the plants at Green Things have got to love, and you'll love going over there to get everything you need for the garden. GreenThingsAZ.com is the website. They're open daily in their 53rd year of business, and while you're there, check out their sister business, Zocalo Village. Zocalo Village has an incredible selection of imported items, pottery, beautiful Talavera pottery, on it goes. Their website, ZocaloVillage.com. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. And we welcome back now on the live line, Democrat Dr. Matt Hines. Matt serves as a Pima County supervisor, one of five supervisors on the Pima County Board. Matt represents District 2. And he also works as a physician, a hospitalist at Tucson Medical Center, where he treats patients with a wide range of conditions, including COVID-19, heart attacks, diabetes, on it goes. Dr. Hines, how are you?
Doing well, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Well, it was a pleasure to have you on the show. I was looking at the top 10 positivity rate. Those are the states that are still experiencing, Matt Hines, a high rate of COVID tests that are coming back positive. In Arizona, we're in the top 10, and one out of 10, as you know, one out of 10 tests are coming back positive for COVID-19.
Right. Yeah, no, it's still around. We're not seeing the numbers that we, of course, once did in 2020 and 2021, but it hasn't gone away. And I don't know that it ever will completely go away. So we still need to be cognizant of that and vigilant and, you know, do the things that we need to do. If we're sick, stay home. Don't go to work and cough on other people. If you have fevers, wash your hands. And take care of yourself and our neighbors. So it's basic common sense.
And then the influenza is, I guess, is starting to wane, which is good news. But there's something else I was reading about called para influenza, P-A-R-A influenza, that is starting. It is really peaking, I guess, in the western United States.
That's right. It's there are a wide. It's not just, you know, the flu, kind of influenza or COVID, or we've heard a lot about RSV, of course, now that there's a vaccine for that. But there are a lot of these things that can cause common colds and severe acute bronchitis episodes. And one of those is parainfluenza virus. It's not the flu. It's just kind of similar. And you have human metapneumovirus, another big, long tongue twister. There's a variety of these. There's also four or five variations of non-COVID coronavirus that we are testing for that can cause bronchitis and other kinds of severe respiratory infections. So it's not just one or two or three of these things. There are lots of them, and they peak at different times.
Yeah, it's a lot to keep for you to keep your eye on, including the old what's referred to a lot of times as just stomach flu or stomach bug, which is really something called norovirus, isn't it, Dr. Hines?
Often. Yeah, it can often be, these gastroenteritis, sure.
So, all right, you're busy as usual over at Tucson Medical. Now let's talk some county issues. The sheriff, Sheriff Nanos, very disappointed that he's not going to get a new jail. He claims that the situation over there, it's just, he calls it a total mess. What's your take on what's going to happen with the jail?
Look, you know, we had that. I think things went in a little bit of the wrong order. Before tasking a commission with coming back to us with recommendations and allowing there to be like one of the pieces of information provided was they looked at kind of the jail numbers from in a period of time and decided 3,100 would be the number we would have to build a jail for. I completely disagree with that. We saw during the initial time during COVID that jail population, when all the stakeholders who have anything to do with putting people into jail working together, we brought that number down to below 1,300 for a while. So we know that 2/3 of the jail population that we currently have are there for nonviolent offenses. And of course, the vast majority haven't been convicted of anything. So a lot of these folks can be safely monitored with those ankle bracelets. And but we need to have the buy-in from the courts. We need to have buy-in from adult probation. So I think, you know, and from, of course, Laura Conover's office, from the sheriff's department as well. He does not do deflection. And the fact that our sheriff refuses to do deflection, like our TPD does, the Tucson police absolutely do deflection. But our sheriff won't. And because of that, he is directly contributing to the numbers in the jail. But we need to have the correct data. If you put bad information into a commission or committee, then they're going to come out with recommendations that aren't going to make sense. So, no, we're not going to put to the voters $1 billion proposal nearly to build a brand new jail, especially when we're planning for the wrong number of people, I think.
What is deflection? Could you clarify that for our listeners?
Oh, sure. So there are programs in place where an arrest, if someone could be arrested and booked, brought into the jail for something by sheriff's deputy or by an officer of TPD, they don't have to be necessarily. Obviously, if we're looking at, you know, like something that's violent, firearms involved, that kind of stuff, those folks are going to be brought in and booked and arrested and held for some time. But if it's in at the discretion of the chief of police or at the discretion of the sheriff, the potentially arresting officer or deputy can just give the person a piece of paper that says, hey, you need to show up in court this day, this day, this day in 2.5 weeks to take care of this. If you don't, then, you know, that's going to be a problem. They don't have to be brought in, booked, and held at the jail. And so, for example, on the TPD side of things, only about, I think it's 59% of folks that are arrested are brought in by those officers to the jail and booked. So 41% are not. And that helps to reduce the number of people in our jail. And the fact that the sheriff won't do it is really quite frustrating, frankly.
I know I'm not going to ask you to speak for the sheriff, but I'm just curious if you've heard him give a reason why that he doesn't believe in the deflection.
The only thing I have heard him say has been he's concerned that he may not have the statutory authority to do it, but pretty clearly, you know, the chief of police and Tucson Police Department are doing it. They're doing it already. So, but stay tuned. We're going to have an opinion from our county attorney on that very soon. So
there won't be a new jail, but will there be a kind of a remodeling going on to try to fix what's happening over there?
Oh, of course. And I toured the jail myself with the sheriff and saw the areas that he's been concerned about. And I agree. There are multiple examples of, I would say, deferred maintenance, possibly some from the Dubnyk era, Nanos again. Mm-hmm. There's definitely been some deferred maintenance, and that has led to some concerns. And there are areas that we need to address, and this has to be a safe place for the county employees that are helping to run it. And of course, it has to be a safe structure for those who are inmates there temporarily. So, but again, how much of it needs to be redone, and you know, that remains to be seen. So, you know, that then that's what I think we're going to see some additional discussions about that once we have. So, and we've already talked about some recommendations from Administrator Lesher in terms of how to proceed, and we've given some direction to her to look into what the next steps are. One of those would be, how do we work together to permanently reduce this jail population, not just from COVID?
All right, we're talking with Matt Hines, Pima County Supervisor, District Number 2. And you have announced you are standing for re-election, is that correct?
Yes, I am indeed. And making sure, of course, I get my signatures in, and on the, and that should be here by, I think, April 1st. We have to turn everything in, but that is something I look forward to doing again for another term if the voters will have me.
All right, let's talk. Well, actually, why don't we take the break, and then we'll see if we can get an update from you on the clock is ticking on running out of funds for the migrant situation. We'll talk with Dr. Matt Hines right after we take this break.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority Plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region, averaging more than $100 million in tax revenue each year. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review prior to a May 2025 election. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Bill Buckmaster with you in the driver's seat. Speaking of driving, it's only about a three-hour drive over to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. And there's a lot to do over this beautiful time of year as we transition into spring. The Gila National Wilderness Great spot to do some hiking, camping, hanging out, or check out the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. It's about a half hour north of historic Silver City. I love that elevation over there, 5,000 to 7,000 feet. You're going to get beautiful warm days and very cool evenings. Their website looking real good at southwestnewmexico.org, about things to do, places to stay, and some great places to eat as well over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. We're in the Green Thing, Zilcalo Village Studio, and our live line for our telephone interviews presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go back now on the live line. Dr. Matt Hines, Democrat representing District Number 2 on the 5-member Pima County Board of Supervisors. So, Dr. Hines, in a couple of weeks here, federal funding runs out for enhancing the experience, I guess you could say, of the many migrants coming through Tucson, and we're kind of wondering what that's all going to look like in a couple of weeks. What's your take on that?
You know, this is a topic that can be very contentious, and I think it's pretty, from my perspective, it's a pretty easy thing. We are the county. We are not the federal government nor the state. This is a federal issue that is yet unresolved. Unhelpfully, the bill that our senator even helped to try to get across the finish line was not even taken up by the House for a vote. That would have helped with us a lot. But look, we can't have 12, 13, 1,500 folks potentially a day in some cases being just dropped off in the middle of downtown Tucson or wherever. That's not safe. It's not safe for the community. It's not safe for these particular migrants either. The services that are being performed at the transition centers, I guess you can call them, where they stay for 1 to 3 days. They're not camping out here, and we're not providing like housing for months or years. They're going somewhere else, where their sponsors are. But that is something that we've set up an excellent program at Pima County to help with this and to facilitate it. And the reimbursement coming from the federal government has paid for every dollar that we've been doing of this program for the past 4 years. That funding is in question. Now, I'm hopeful that the continuing resolution that will affect the Department of Homeland Security will be passed here in the next 4 days, hopefully, before there's a partial government shutdown, and or at least before the end of March, so that we will be able to continue the program as it is presently structured. But of course, staff are making, doing everything they can to reduce expenses and see if there's something we might be able to keep going at a much, much lower level. But without these dollars coming in to reimburse the county for what it is spending, you know, in some cases as high as $1 million a week, that's not something we can sustain just with county dollars, nor should we have to for this as yet unresolved federal problem.
The continuing resolution, does that have, from your understanding, some money that would go to the counties to keep the program going?
It does, and is my understanding from the federal staff members that my office and I have been in touch with and in discussions with the county. If the continuing resolution is passed, then the SSB funding that within FEMA that allows reimbursement of these kinds of expenses for transportation, other things like that, that would be something that we could count on at least until for however long the continuing resolution is in effect. So that's not forever, obviously, but that would certainly prevent us from having to precipitously discontinue the program on April 1st.
Putting all those people on the street would be just a mess, a terrible mess, in my opinion.
In mine is as well. And look, this isn't like, you know, some fancy resort situation. These are hundreds of cots in one room, right? We're doing this so that people have a place to park, basically, just for a day or two. And in some cases, and we are doing screenings, right? Health screenings. This is important. Okay, it's a pregnant woman who has a fever. Whoa, why do you have a fever? What's mm-hmm. going on? We need to get this person some help. That's not just for the person that has the illness. That's for you and me and everyone in the community to keep us safe as well in case there's some communicable disease. We want to screen for that. not punitive, helpful, public health, right? So that's what the county does. We have a public health hat. We have and run and fund the county health department. So it is imperative that we do some of the work that is being done to help these migrants, these guests, get to where they need to go, but also to make sure that the community is safe from any potential illnesses that could be coming through. So there are multiple reasons why we need to keep this going, and to some degree at least, for everybody's safety.
Matt Hines with us a few more minutes with Pima County Supervisor Dr. Matt Hines representing District Number 2. The Mosaic Quarter is an ambitious project, a sports entertainment complex that you and your colleagues voted unanimously to approve the first phase of leases for this project. I think there's some confusion about it, that it's not being funded by Pima County. Maybe you could set our listeners straight on this.
Sure. It is a very large project that, initially I took a little convincing myself. I'm fully on board and excited. This is happening right in the middle of District 2, by the way. I think, frankly, the lineup of speakers, we've talked about Call to the Audience several times on your show.
Yeah.
But the lineup of speakers, of nearly 30 speakers, two-thirds of the folks came to talk about why this would be so beneficial to the local economy, to young people, to parents, to families, to all sorts of folks, to the University of Arizona. Also, I think the deputy director of athletics was there. We had a representative from Tucson Medical Center that will be providing the sports medicine. So the thing that has made it, I think, really easy for us to vote for it as we did, was you heard from Frank Knott, who's a developer here. He has, I think, three or four different layers of financial protections built in over the decades-long life of this development to make sure that Pima County is effectively never going to be in any significant way on the hook financially, but in the most catastrophic financial sort of dire situations, to the point that none of the rating agencies did anything. This is not affecting our credit rating at the county, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and they're pretty sensitive. So the heat is homework. We are protected. The taxpayers and their dollars are not in any significant way at risk. But the potential benefit to the region, the 12 billion plus dollar benefit over the lifetime of this is fantastic. And one of the points I made early on was, hey, this is happening in an area that is pretty low income. You know, there's a lot of struggling families in this part of my district, and I don't want to just see that some of these folks can get jobs helping to build it. I want their kids to be playing pickleball there. You know, I want them to be ice skating at these ice rinks. I want them to be able to utilize this, and they may not be able to pay for it. And they took that to heart. And there's $1.5 million+ a year, every year, that are going to be set aside to make sure that thousands and thousands of kids that may not otherwise be able to afford it are able to participate and utilize this complex, not just maybe get a job, their family members getting a job building it.
Yeah, it's a very phase one would include three rinks, ice rinks in the sports complex. It'll be a field house for multi sports, up to four restaurants. This many people point to this as kind of a true public private partnership.
I think that's a great way to describe it. I would agree.
All right. Any final thoughts? Dr. Hines got about 30 seconds. We didn't get a chance to get into transportation, but go ahead.
I think it sounds to me like Tucson is not going to be continuing with the RTA at this point. I don't see how an RTA next happens. And I would just say, if there's any serious interest in making an RTA next happen, the thing that has to happen is Farhad Mogimi, the executive director, who has failed for 5 years to bring folks together and to listen to all participants sitting at the table, must be replaced, and he should resign. That, I think, would be the only thing I can see at this point that might rescue this.
All right, Dr. Matt Hines, thank you for the time. Appreciate it.
Of course, sir. Thank you, Bill.
All right, that's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. Our Monday edition, off and running. On behalf of John, engineering and producing the show, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Hope everybody has a great afternoon.